We're going to look at John chapter 7 from verse 14. So if you want to page in your Bibles to that passage, you can find it. We'll do the readings as part of the points that we want to discuss on the topic of this morning, and that is to evaluate or to test the teachings of Jesus. And that may sound a little bit, maybe almost blasphemous, but you'll see that Jesus does not mind if you test his teaching, because he is the perfect teacher. I want to see how many of you are teachers. I'm talking about school or university. Just show me how many teachers. Just keep your hands up a little bit. Yes. Wonderful. Well, as far as the Christian faith is concerned, all of you who believe you are Christians should also put your hands up to say that you are a teacher. And the question is, if your teaching would be tested, would it stand the test of time? Would it be the same kind of quality as that of Jesus? And I know the answer is no. But I don't want to diminish the effect that teachers can have on people's lives. I want to use that as an analogy just to illustrate the point that I would like to make, or the points I want to make about Jesus. I went to school. I know it's hard to tell. I did. I went to an Afrikaans school, and I know that's also hard to tell. I remember two teachers specifically. There were a number of teachers in my life that had an effect on me, but I'll just focus on two of them that I remember had a positive effect on my life. And the one was a very old teacher at the time that I was in grade 8, at standard 6, right? Yes, grade 8 also shows my age. He was very old. He was just past 60. And he was about to retire. So as part of his retirement speech, he did what he did in class. He was our English teacher. And he would flip between Afrikaans and English as if it was the same language to make certain points. He was excellent in teaching us English as far as it was possible to teach a bunch of Afrikaans boerkies to speak English. And then as part of his speech, when he explained to us the privilege that he had to be a teacher and what it meant to him, he said the following. Firstly, he said in English, "Some are wise, and some are otherwise." And then in Afrikaans he said, "Partye is wys en ander is in die onderwys." So for those who don't understand, the direct translation of the last part as he transliterated what he said is that some are wise and others are in education. And he made a point. So he showed knowledge and insight into our lives, and he did that consistently as he taught us. It was a joy to be in his class. We called him Pipa. And we were all sad when people left, and we had the next teacher that was just not with it. Not going to talk about him. I'll talk about Gerkie. Gerkie's surname was Van der Westhuizen. He's currently a farmer in the Karoo. He was our science teacher, and I moved from one school to the next midterm, and I went to that school. One of the reasons was a number of my friends were there already, and all my friends thought I could run, because none of them could run. So it wasn't a real measure of my ability. It was actually a measure of their inability. But I went to the school with a reputation of someone who can run, and I landed in Gerkie's class the first day, and not realizing that he was the coach for the middle distance runners. I enjoyed running. I was quite fit. But here he showed insight by welcoming me with these words. "So, Hatteng, I believe you can run." I was not going to say no. I said, "Yes, sir, I can run." He said, "Come here, stand in front of me." It was summer, so we had short pants. He looked me up and down, and he said this, "Those legs can't run." So I had to show him. Almost died, made it through, ran. These teachers were vastly different, but in their own specific way, they knew how to get the best out of us as students. And they showed some, a little bit, of what Jesus does the whole time. Because there is a teacher who once walked the earth, who is superior in all levels to all other teachers. And his name is Jesus. His teaching is vastly superior, and he reaches vastly superior results above the best moral or ethical change that can happen in any person. His teaching produces. It is life-changing. But it's not always appreciated. Many question the teaching of Jesus. The teaching of Jesus is probably tested more than any other teacher's teaching in this world. And you're allowed to test his teaching. Your conclusion to your testing of the teaching of Jesus will tell you what the effect of his teaching has on you. You see, the teachings of Jesus challenges the normal, sin-cursed mind of man. In his book, Mere Christianity, C.S. Lewis writes the following about Jesus and about people's perception of Jesus. He says the following: a man who was merely a man and said the sort of things Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic on a level with the man who says he is a poached egg, or else he would be the devil of hell. You must make your choice. Either this man, referring to Jesus, was and is the Son of God, or else a madman or something worse. You can shut him up for a fool. You can spit at him and kill him as a demon. Or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. But let us not come with any patronizing nonsense about his being a great human teacher. He has not left that open to us. He did not intend to. Peter, all the mistakes that he made throughout his ministry life, before he came to the realization about who Jesus really is, came to this conclusion that is recorded in John 6, verse 69. And we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. He came to that conclusion because of the teachings of Jesus. Keith explained to us last time how Jesus inserted himself into the conflict during the Feast of Tabernacles and how the people were clearly in two camps. Jesus challenged us through Keith's message to evaluate where we stand. Is Jesus a good man, or is he leading people astray? How can you be sure that what Jesus said is true? How can you test the teaching of Jesus? So in our passage for today, we find the Jewish crowd test the teaching of Jesus. And they must determine what kind of teacher he is, and you and I must do that again today. We have an opportunity today to test Jesus as teacher, and if we evaluate him honestly, we will find that he is the ultimate teacher because of four divine abilities that he has. Those abilities are the following, and then we'll deal with them one by one. Firstly, Jesus is the ultimate teacher because he has divine knowledge. Secondly, he has a divine desire. Thirdly, he has divine insight. And then lastly, number four, he has a divine solution. So let's look at John chapter 7, verse 14 and 17, and see that Jesus is the ultimate teacher because of his divine knowledge. Read with me from verse 14. About the middle of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and began teaching. The Jews therefore marveled, saying, "How is it that this man has learning when he has never studied?" So Jesus answered them, "My teaching is not mine, but his who sent me. If anyone's will is to do God's will, he will know whether the teaching is from God or whether I am speaking on my own authority." You may wonder about the sudden change of heart that Jesus showed in the previous portion of chapter 7. Jesus told his brothers that he is not going to the feast. You'll remember that he said, "It's not my time yet. It's someone else's time, or your time to go. It's not mine yet." Yet here we find him in the temple, midway through the feast. So why did he do that? Verse 14 says, about the middle of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and began teaching. So here Jesus goes to the feast. Why? Did he lie to his brothers, like some would say? Did he change his mind about going? No. In the context of this whole chapter, we can see that he was merely obeying the Father. Jesus knows the Father, and he knows the Father's heart. So it was the father's desire for him not to go at the beginning of the feast and not to be there at the end of the feast, only go at the end of the feast, but to go after the beginning of the feast. So Jesus has divine knowledge. How often do you read or see a news item or a Facebook post that turns out to be false? You read it and it interests you and it's contentious, and you maybe even forward it to as many people as you can because it's such an amazing piece of news, only to see that it was false. Because people rely on sources that are not trustworthy. A news network in this last week found it necessary to put the following post on their social media pages and on their website. It said the following: spreading misinformation creates unnecessary panic and fear and aggravate the situation. So news networks fail, and we sometimes fail because we have limited knowledge. But Jesus passes the test of truth because he has access to all knowledge. So we go back to John chapter 7, verse 15. We see that the Jews, hearing his teaching, they marvel. They're amazed at the depth of knowledge in this kind of teaching. They say, how is it that this man has learning when he has never studied? It's as if Jesus, the author of all wisdom and knowledge, needed a teacher. Who will teach him anything? In today's terms, it'll be like the doubting Jews of that time. If we would apply it to today, it will be like Jesus would be here and he would teach. And it'll be amazing. People would be filled with adoration and admiration until someone mentions over coffee, but did you know that he never went to seminary? And he was never ordained in one of our approved organizations. That would sow doubt in some people's minds. He had no papers, no degree, no qualification, yet he knew the scriptures and he taught with authority. Like the skeptics of today, the teachings of Jesus cannot be refuted. The more you test the content and the value and the truth of the teachings of Jesus, the less you are able to refute that. So what the skeptics do is they question his credentials. And the implication is, they say, don't listen to him. He wasn't trained by us. And the Lord's reply to this accusation is classic in verse 16. No matter what the accusation, no matter what they say, Jesus says the following: my teaching is not mine, but his who sent me. And he takes the wind out of their sails. Where do you put the accusation? He says, don't judge my words. They are the words of the Father. You know, the same Father who spoke to Moses. Your Moses. Not my words, my Father's words. And Jesus mentions 30 times in John alone that he was sent by the Father. Example, John 8, verse 28. So Jesus said to them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing on my own authority, but speak just as the Father taught me. The teaching of Jesus is true because he has inside knowledge. Jesus knows the Father's heart and he knows the Father's mind. And Jesus was different to the teachers of his day. In Matthew's version of the Sermon on the Mount, he ends it with the following. In Matthew 7, verse 28 and 29, he says, and when Jesus finished these sayings, the teachings, the crowds were astonished at his teaching. For he was teaching them as one who had authority and not as their scribes. He was unique. He is still unique. He has knowledge. Perfect knowledge. Go to John 7, verse 17. If anyone's will is to do God's will, he will know whether the teaching is from God or whether I am speaking on my own authority. How will you know that the teachings of Jesus is true? Well, Jesus himself gives us a promise in verse 17 that it is possible and probable. He says, if your will is to do God's will, If your will is to do God's will, then you will know the truth about the teaching of Jesus. And you will know whether the teaching of Jesus is of God or not. So testing the teaching of Jesus with a humble heart, submitting to God and His Word, will bring you to that point where you realize that Jesus is the ultimate teacher. Every word that He taught is worth listening to, making it your own, and obeying. And then in addition to that, we have the help of the Holy Spirit that makes us able to have assurance of what we believe. He assures us that what we believe of Jesus is true. In 1 John 2 verse 20 we read, "But you have been anointed by the Holy One, and you all have knowledge." And then in Romans 8 verse 16 it says, plainly, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Jesus is the ultimate teacher because He has divine knowledge. We who live on this side of the first coming of Jesus Christ, we have the privilege of having that word complete for us in our Bibles. And secondly, Jesus is the ultimate teacher because of His divine desire. We find that in verse 18 of John chapter 7. "The one who speaks on his own authority seeks his own glory. But the one who seeks the glory of Him who sent him is true, and in him there is no falsehood." Teachers in school or university or in Sunday school or anywhere else where things are taught must also have the right desire. Their desire must be to impart the right knowledge in the right way, so that the knowledge is transferred. False teachers have at least two characteristics in common. A false teacher speaks on his own authority, and a false teacher's intent is to seek his own glory. The false teacher has a selfish desire. And this is in order to attract people and attention to themselves. They aim to harm the church, not arm the church. False teachers do not protect the flock. They pacify them with empty and untrue promises that will never come to pass. This is how Paul warns the church against teachers with the wrong desires. Romans 16, verse 18. "For such persons," the false teachers, "do not serve our Lord Christ, but they serve their own appetite. And by smooth talk and flattery they deceive the hearts of the naive." On the other hand of the scale, we have Jesus, the ultimate teacher, always desires to honor the Father. Paul writes to the church in Philippi, and we read in Philippians 2, verse 6 to 8, "Jesus, though He was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied Himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross." False teachers serve themselves and want value for their own ministries. Jesus, in contrast, got up from the table, took off His outer garment, poured water into a bowl, and washed the feet of His disciples in John 13, verse 4 and 5. By seeking the divine value and glory of the Father, Jesus showed that there is no falsehood in Him. Here's another test for you and me. What is your desire concerning the teaching of Jesus? Is your desire to honor God by glorifying Jesus? Or do you want people to recognize your efforts? Or do you want people to see the value of God through how you serve? See, testing the teaching of Jesus so far in these verses showed us that Jesus is the ultimate teacher, and He can be trusted because of His divine knowledge and because of His divine desire. Then we see, thirdly, that Jesus is the ultimate teacher because of His divine insight. I must warn you, this is a bit of a scary one. Divine insight. And Jesus says this to the Jews in the temple and to us today. John 7, verse 19 and 20. "Has not Moses given you the law? Yet none of you keeps the law. Why do you seek to kill me? The crowd answered, You have a demon. Who is seeking to kill you? I have another confession with regards to my schooling. I did not do well in math. I still don't do well with math. I blame it on the teacher. The teacher didn't have insight into my lack of mathematical aptitude. If the teacher had insight into my mind and how my mind worked, if he knew my problem, if he had insight into my being, my matric certificate would have looked much better. Jesus has perfect insight. He has divine insight. And Jesus knows by this example that the Jewish leaders wanted to kill him. And the answer to the question, has not Moses given you the law, is a rhetorical question. Obviously, yes, Moses gave us the law. Everyone sitting there knew that. So instead of answering or waiting for an answer, Jesus does not wait. He says the following. He accuses them with, yet none of you keeps the law. So he's saying, Moses gave you the law. So Moses is so very important to you. So if he's so important and the law is so important and you're accusing me of breaking the law, why are you breaking the law? Yet none of you keeps the law. I think we have to agree that if you and I were sitting there in that temple on that day, and we had the same background than the Jewish leaders of that day, we would be offended. We may have responded in the same way. But Jesus is absolutely right, because in Romans 3 verse 23, Paul writes to the church, For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And the divine insight of Jesus knew this fact many, many years before Paul wrote it. No one can obey the law. The New Testament makes it very clear. Galatians 5 verse 4 and 6 is an example. You are severed from Christ. You are cut off from Christ. You would be justified by the law. You have fallen away. Actually, you have fallen out of grace. You are removed from grace. Verse 6 then says, For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love. The purpose of the law of Moses is to prove to every human that it is impossible to keep the law, pointing us to the reality of our need of a Savior. The law is the revealer of sin, not the Savior from sin. The law condemns. And Jesus shows again his divine insight by looking into the hearts of people. Verse 19 where he says, Why do you seek to kill me? The best reply to that accusation that the Jews could come up with is an accusation. You have a demon. Who seeks to kill you? They accused Jesus of delusion and irrational thoughts. Remember a few days before, they were looking for him. They were saying, well, where is he? Why is he not here? He's a good man. Some of them said, no, he's leading some astray. But now, to go from there, you know, within a week, to you have a demon. No one wants to kill you. Just on your own head. You have some theory. But not long after this, they will shout with one voice, Crucify him. How do you respond? Jesus kept the law. Jesus fulfilled the law. But the warning is that the same divine insight that Jesus had when he knew the murderous plans of the Jewish leaders and the crowd, that same divine insight is at work today here in each of us. Jesus can see your intentions clearly. He has insight into your desires. He sees your lies and bitterness. He is there when you gossip. He listens to the cursed words and the hatred. He knows your addiction and reads your mind when you convince yourself of, just one more time. No one will know. It won't hurt anyone else. You cannot fool Jesus. And you cannot escape him, because he has perfect divine insight into every man's heart. So Jesus has divine knowledge, divine desire, divine insight. And then lastly, Jesus is the ultimate teacher because of his divine solution. We read that in John 7, verse 21 to 24. Jesus answered them, I did one work, and you all marvel at it. Moses gave you circumcision, not that it is from Moses, but from the fathers. And you circumcise a man on the Sabbath. If on the Sabbath a man receives circumcision so that the law of Moses may not be broken, are you angry with me because on the Sabbath I made a man's whole body well? Do not judge by appearances, but judge with right judgment. So like the ultimate teacher that Jesus is, he paints a picture of the problem before he gives the solution. You also find it amazing that the Lord of the universe reasons with man. They question his integrity. They accuse him of being delusional. But Jesus reminds them simply of what he did and what the real problem is. You see, Jesus can do anything and everything. He can heal a lame man. And he reminds them that circumcision was not given by Moses, but before Moses, the patriarchs, the fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, practiced that command. So Jesus says to the doubters, you don't have a problem with someone breaking the Sabbath law to heal a small part of a Jewish boy's body on the eighth day, but you want to kill me because I healed a grown man's whole body on the Sabbath. It's ludicrous. But the Jews had doubts in Jesus, and Jesus knew this. So how about you? Do you have doubts? What in your life is keeping you back from accepting all the words that Jesus teaches? Even though some of them may be difficult for you to accept, why don't you react as a good student of a perfect teacher should react? Ask yourself, do you want a solution? You want to know how to go through life with no care in the world? You want the answer to everlasting life? The answer is found in verse 24. Jesus himself saying, do not judge by appearances, but judge with right judgment. So he's saying, don't follow your own knowledge, your own desires, your own insight, and your own solutions. Follow Jesus. Follow the teachings of Jesus. He can be trusted. He is the ultimate teacher. He is the only one with permanent solutions. So the Jews judge only by what they wanted to see, by appearance. Jesus, however, is the divine judge. And when you face him one day, and you will, how will you be judged? And part of the answer lies in how you react to the teaching of Jesus, even today. When you test his teaching, what do you find? And how do you react? What answer do you come to? Paul, the Apostle Paul, came to this conclusion after testing the teaching of Jesus. Acts 20, verse 24. But I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course in the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Testify to the gospel of the grace of God, the good news about Jesus. The solution to life and godliness is to follow the teachings of Jesus and to serve him. So to sum this up, I'll try and do it in the following way. When we test the teaching of Jesus, we can come to only one true conclusion. Jesus is the ultimate perfect teacher. He is divine and perfect because he has knowledge about all things. He has knowledge about the Father's heart and mind and plans and abilities. He has the divine and pure desire to do the will of the Father for the good of those who belong to the Father. And Jesus has divine and amazing insight into your life and mine. He has insight into the future. He has insight into all your problems. He has insight into whatever you can ask him to do. and He will do the best for you. And Jesus has the permanent and true solution for you today and every day into eternity. The solution is Himself. Here's another application that you may want to consider, knowing that each Christian in some way is a teacher. But you may be a teacher in school, or you may be in Sunday school, or you may teach in church in some way, you may teach at home, and whenever you speak about Jesus, you are a teacher of the words of Jesus. Then ask yourself, do I exhibit some of these qualities that Jesus has? How am I doing on the scale of knowledge about His words? What is my desire? Is it a pure desire to honor and glorify Him, or do I seek the glory for myself? Do I have insight? Do I rely on the Holy Spirit before I speak? And all of that working together to center around the real Jesus. May Jesus be judged with right judgment by all of us, knowing that we fall far short, but also knowing that He is the ultimate teacher. We may do well to pay more attention than we already do to what He has to say. Amen. Our Father, as we contemplate these words of Jesus, we pray that none of us who are here today will leave without a new, maybe even a first-time commitment to listening more intently and reacting more obediently to the perfect words of the ultimate teacher, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Honor yourself, Lord, through us. Glorify your name because of who you are. We are willing instruments. We pray that you'll use us for your glory and for our benefit. Amen.